10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good evening. Welcome to another evening of Good Friends, featuring absolute very best in all of women's sports and HBCU athletics. And so tonight, we want to take a moment of silence, introduce my guest, and we'll be ready to go. 10 to 10 seconds. Amen. All right. Good evening. Welcome all the way from the Motor City. Motor City Miracle. James Waddell. Jim, tell everybody hello. How you doing?
Hello. I'm here in Atlanta today.
All right.
But I'm wanted to say you got a good show in hand. Just listen and sit back and relax.
All righty. Thank you. All right. From the Music City, the Hall of Famer at Fisk University, volleyball and basketball, Ms. Joelle Bowers. Hey, Joelle, tell everybody hello.
Yes. Hello, everyone. Good evening. Good evening.
All righty. All right. And coming from up there in the Maryland way, he's with us tonight. Jeff, tell everybody hello. Hey,
good evening, folks. Peace and blessings to you.
All righty. And then Chi-Town's finest, Dr. Marlo Kemp, coming from Chi-Town, but up in the Jersey area. Dr. Kemp, tell everybody hello.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the show. Hope you enjoy it.
All righty. We do have a great show for you. Listen, before we get started, and Jeff's going to bring us just a few words on O.J. Simpson and his death and his life. We want to speak on this story. A young man, Shazon Page, a football player for Tennessee State University, a center, present student, six classes away from graduation this past weekend. He was with his girlfriend. They were crossing the street in Gallatin, Tennessee, about 5 a.m. And the girlfriend survived. A car was bearing down on him about 100 miles an hour. And the girlfriend said, "He pushed me out of the way, and he took the brunt of that hit, and that young man passed." And so all of us are praying for his family. His name is Shazon Page, of course, Tennessee State Tiger Nation, and everybody else. So, Dr. Kemp, I'm going to let you speak first on that, being a TSU alum. I don't know if you heard of that story, but give us your thoughts. His name was Shazon Page.
Yes, thanks, Dr. Burry. Yes, our hearts and prayers go out to this young man's family, just the TSU family, the football team, his girlfriend, everyone. You know, it's just such a tragic just to have this happen, you know, to them. And they are going home or walking home, and just we don't know who the driver was that caused this tragedy to happen. And this young man had just played in the spring game, football game that they annually have, you know, around this time. So just to, you know, lose his life like this is just tragic.
Yeah, our prayers will continue to thank you, Dr. Kemp, go out to him and his family, all of his teammates that, you know, are affecting the coach, just everybody down there in Tiger Nation. Now, there's been a deaf NFL player. He's a great, great one, but his life came with some controversy. Jeff, give us a couple of minutes on the life of O.J. Simpson, passed in 2024.
Yes, Cliff, this is a story that is known worldwide. We are talking about one of the most decorated athletes in football history. And to me, it was a tale of two lives. The first half was his collegiate and professional half. Most of us know this was one of the greatest running backs that has ever planted his feet on the field. A lot of his story for the newer generation has been silenced. But those of us who are of age and have had the opportunity to see him come through USC and also his career, professional career with the Buffalo Bills, understood that the athletic ability of this man was just incredible. Mm-hmm. Known worldwide. And so don't doubt it. There wasn't as much social media back in the day, but if you ever get the chance, go back and look him up. There are highlights of him. There are stories of him. And once again, he was just one of the best to ever do it. Unfortunately, the second half of his life. We all remember what is deemed the trial of the century. It was one of the, you know, the most disturbing things. There were two deaths involved, his ex-wife and another young man that died tragically, apparently, allegedly, from the hands of O.J. Simpson. And so this story was a big, big ordeal. It not only affected his home, you know, the family, or both families, or three families that were involved, but it affected his friends around him. It sure enough affected the community. There were lines drawn, color lines that were drawn because of the trial. There were things going on within the trial. The Dream Team was noted with the most famous Johnny Cochran. All of these things were front and center. And so they affected all of us in life, you know, whether you were for or against, whether you believed it to be true or not, it certainly affected all of us in the community. Mm-hmm. We're still crying out for the children that were involved in particular. And of course, the two deaths involved. So this is an ongoing story. The main thing right now is the after story has a lot to do with finances. And so right now, the big thing that's happening is, you know, what Simpson's remains, where will they be dispatched to? And that's going to be a big, big thing in the news. So you look forward. This story is not done, folks.
All righty.
It's not done.
All right. Thanks so much, Jeff. I'm going to ask Joelle, just give us your thoughts on the O.J. Simpson trial. Give us just about 30 seconds on it. O.J. Simpson. What do you remember?
Yes, I remember O.J. Simpson being, of course, a Hall of Fame for national football, and of course him being exonerated of murder, but then later being convicted civilly for the murder of his wife, Nicole Ann, for her friend Goodman. What I feel right now, a lot came from that trial because we also had, as our co-host was saying, we had the exoneration due to the glove don't fit, must it quit. We were all happy. Yeah, but we were glad to see him serve. Now, as far as I know, they were won millions of dollars, but he did not pay that settlement. And part of that settlement, they're all back there, but I asked for prayers for his kids, for those children that were born and had to live in that tragic, dysfunctional situation.
All right. We got to
that's what.
All right. Thanks, Noel. Now, we have a special young lady that made history, and I'm going to ask Dr. Kemp to talk about her. This is also a Tennessee State University graduate. Her name is Miss Clarice Phelps. Just give us about a minute or two on Miss Clarice Phelps. Dr. Kemp.
Thanks, Dr. Bird. I'm going to try, but this story is so fascinating. I'm just going to try to get a minute in. Clarice Phelps is actually an American nuclear chemist, researching the process of radioactive transuranic elements at the U.S. Department of Energy at Oak Ridge National Laboratory in Tennessee. She was part of their team that collaborated with the Joint Institutes for Nuclear Research to discover the element number 117, known as the tennessine. She is the first African-American female to actually be involved in this discovery of a chemical element. She was formerly in the U.S. Navy and part of the nuclear power program that they actually had. And she also helped to investigate the industrial uses of the element nickel-63 and selenium element number 75. Yes, she completed a Bachelor of Science degree in chemistry from Tennessee State University, my alma mater, in 2003. And she earned a master's in mechanical engineering through the nuclear and radiochemistry program at the University of Texas in Austin. She is currently a PhD student in nuclear engineering program at the University of Tennessee. What I really enjoy reading about this young lady is she actually mentioned that she struggled academically in college, and it wasn't until she joined the U.S. Navy that helped to give her structure and actually how to study. What I also found fascinating about her story was that she was not even recognized for being on the team to help discover this element, and every time her name will come up. It would actually disappear off of publications and lists. And it wasn't until recently that she was trending. Thank goodness for social media that we now know that she is the first African American to help discover.
Yeah, excellent. Terry, who's also a scientist, a triple threat, back with us. Always great to have him back with us. Terry, just give us about 30 seconds. What's your thoughts on this special young lady who has now added an element to the periodic table? What's your thoughts?
I think it's fascinating that she's been able to achieve this. I find it disconcerting.
Okay. Lost Terry for a second. We'll come back. We'll come back in. But again, this young lady's from Tennessee State, and she's just done a tremendous job, and we're proud of her. We have someone who discovered something on the periodic table. I'll try to get Terry back on the line in a second. Okay, celebrity birthdays. Jim, from your hometown, he's been on TV 20 years, none other than Greg Mathis, Judge Greg Mathis. He's made a big difference, not just in a TV judge, but also the community. Incubators in the winter. Give us a word or two, about 30 seconds to a minute, on Judge Mathis. Jim.
Well, Greg Mathis not only is from Detroit, but Greg got in some trouble early in his life. Went to prison where he got his GED, got his undergrad degree. And then after he got, he went to law school and he's never forgot the city. Mm-hmm. He's a fraternity brother from the same chapter in Detroit. And he right now has the longest running judge show after the lady retired.
Judy.
Mm-hmm. Judge Judy. He's in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And, you know, from all that I understand, the people who know him, he's just a great guy. He still lives in the city. Mm-hmm. So,
righty.
Hats off to Greg Mathis.
Yeah. All right, my second birthday this month. He was born April 25th. He's considered to be by some in the table for the best power forward to ever play the game. Let me see if I can get Terry back. Mr. Tim Duncan. Terry, give me your thought on Mr. Tim Duncan. Terry?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, excellent. Tim Duncan, listen, I grew up hearing about Tim Duncan in college, being that I'm from North Carolina. So his stint at Wake Forest University is not likely to be eclipsed anytime soon. But, you know, what a star. I also appreciate what he seems to be doing off the court post-pro. And, yeah, just excited to hear more about what Tim.
All righty. We ended up losing again, but we heard most of it. Good enough. Tim Duncan. And coming to you, Joel, who's born on April 4th. Give me some words about Miss Jill Scott. Joel. Now turn your mic on, Joel. Miss Jill Scott. All right.
Miss Jill Scott, can you guys hear me?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yes. I'm so glad she's here. She's one of our leading artists of the time, not only as in media as far as voice and musical. She also writes. She's also an actress. And we're looking to see what she's next to have to come on and follow. I know that she has a residence now or study here in Nashville. So we're happy to have Miss Jill Scott and follow her. Happy birthday for this month of April.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Joelle. Now, let's get into our Woman of the Month. Name is what? Miss Toni. Toni Stone, the first African-American woman to play professional baseball, and she played in the male Negro Leagues. And we've been talking about her life all month, but she was impacted in her career, as you can imagine. She played in the 1950s with racial segregation and sexism. And they, even though they were baseball leagues for women, the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League, it remained unofficially segregated and claiming that only white women met their exacting beauty standards. So Stone was the first female player in the Negro Leagues, and she was not with men with open arms. Manager of the Clowns, Bunny Downs, had reportedly once told she better stick to knitting and home cooking, but publicly claimed to be won over after seeing her play. Most of the male ballers shunned her and gave her a hard time because she was a woman. Stone was quite proud of the fact that the male players were out to get her. She would show off the scars on her left wrist and remember the time she had been spiked by a runner trying to take out a woman standing on second base. He was out, she recalled. He was out. This woman was determined, and she has left her mark. Jim, give us your thoughts. Miss Stone, coming to you next, Jeff. Jim? Jeff?
Wow, that's amazing.
You're not mute. I'm sorry. I didn't get a chance to unmute. But Toni Stone showed remarkable poise by not being allowed to play in the, ironically, a league of their own that they had the movie on, and came and even has, like you said, had some struggles with the coach and some of the guys. But once they saw her play, they were won over.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a player is a player as long as they can play. Doesn't matter what, you know, race, sex, whatever. But as long as you can play, you're going to get yours. Your respect.
Right. Jeff?
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, we always heard the stories about Jackie Robinson and the challenges that he faced as a male.
Yeah.
You know, so you can just imagine she's coming in as a woman, an African-American woman, the abuse that she had to face daily. It had to be a toll that many could not take. Many mm-hmm. could not have taken that. So you got to give her all the kudos in the world. It's just to put it down. Everybody's standing on her shoulder.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. All right. We're going to move on. Fishkin was named this weekend in the field of gymnastics. Fishkin University, in its second year of the program under Coach Kareem Carver, has produced a national champion in the all-around. They were in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and Miss Morgan Price, who's been featured this week on CBS, is the national champion. Yeah. And the first HBCU grad to ever do that in the second year of the program. And not to be outdone, there's also a young lady from Talladega in the first year of their program who also won the nationals in the vault. So these two are outstanding. Give us your thought. Dr. Kemp, give us your thought on these two historic feats from HBCU colleges in their first and second year of gymnastics this past weekend.
So very proud of these young ladies. They are doing just a wonderful job, setting a wonderful example for all the young girls that's coming behind them. I mean, and that is definitely not easy to do. So Miss Price and the other young lady from Talladega, we definitely salute you both. Go Fisk Lady Bulldogs gymnastic teams, having a champion on their squad. I love it.
Yeah. Joelle, your thought. Fisk University and then also Talladega champions.
Yes. To Miss Morgan Price, I want to just congratulate her as Fisk University Gymnastics as only a sophomore, her second year. I think her making the decision to come to this HBCU and being under head coach Kareem Tarver, and this is only her second year at mm-hmm. HBCU. So I just congratulations to the 2024 USAG Women's Collegiate All-Around National Championship with a 39.225.
Yeah.
And I just like to say thank you.
All right.
And to yeah.
All righty. Okay. Now, we're going to move on. There's some move around as usual in coaching changes. One of the dynamic coaches, Tanisha Lewis, 61-29 in her first 2 or 3 years as Elizabeth City State. She was also a former WNBA player. She's going to be moving on to the University of Asheville in North Carolina. But she has done tremendous things. She won a CIAA championship at Elizabeth City State. She had them in the finals again. And this young lady is just to be congratulated. Jim, what are your thoughts on this coach, Tanisha Lewis, and what she's done in the short time while she was at Elizabeth City State University and the CIAA. Jim?
Well, Cliff, this always scares us when you get a coach who does well on the HBCU level. She appeared in three straight CIAA tournaments, winning the one in 2023, and I believe lost in the semis of the finals this year. And, you know, we can't, let's be honest, we can't compete with the money that UNC Asheville can give her that Elizabeth City State cannot. And, you know, I'm happy for her, sad for Elizabeth City State, and a bit worried that, you know, Fisk could lose some of its great coaches because of something like that. So,
Jeff, what are your thoughts? Yeah. Jeff, what are your thoughts on coach, what Jim said, not just the coach, Tanisha Lewis, but other coaches? I know that the Tuskegee women won the conference last year and their coach left for PWI. What are your thoughts about this trend happening for HBCUs, Jeff?
Cash moves everything around. $20 bill, y'all. Then listen, that's just a fact of life. That's going to be a hard thing to deal at anywhere, at any sport. Makes no difference. So, you know, the dedication is what's important now. If you got, if you find a coach that's dedicated, you know, to the culture, dedicated to the children, they'll find a way to stay. But money moves a whole lot, Cliff.
Sure it does. Thank you, Jeff. You know, there's one coach, she took an interview, I believe, at Tulane, and I'm interested to see did she ever sign her contract, and that's Coach Tamika Reed, who's back at Jackson State, the winning coach at Jackson State, and it'll be interesting to see. Dr. Kemp, do you think Coach Tamika Reed will stay at Jackson State? She seems to be pretty dedicated to HBCU. She's definitely winning. What are your thoughts?
Yes, I think, for, you know, possibly this year, like you just said, she's definitely dedicated. I was actually surprised that she stayed there. And I agree with Jeff also. You know, sometimes the money, you know, just make the world go round. And who's to say that there may become a time, you know, that she, you know, somebody would make her a great offer, you know, to move. But she has definitely been loyal to, you know, her staff and her students, her student athletes. So we just wish her all the best, and hopefully she'll just continue to stay where she is. And who, you know, who knows? We'll see down the line what would definitely happen. And even if she does move, it'll definitely give, you know, leave an opening for another, you know, good coach to come in and take her place.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll see what happens. Coach Tamika Reed, one of the best. Now, there's a player in women's basketball. She's at Arkansas Pine Bluff. She's transferred a few times there. She's averaged about 16 points a game, one of the best players in the SWAC conference. And she has transferred now to the University of Alabama. Her name is Miss Green, Zaya Green. She's actually a player of the conference. Jim, what are your thoughts? There's so many transfers, transfer points, sport. But what are your thoughts about now? Arkansas Pine Bluff losing to the University of Alabama, SEC school, its top player, and one of the top players in the conference.
Well, Cliff, you know, she went to Texas A&M, I'm sorry, and Tennessee before she went to Pine Bluff and played 2 years there. So, you know, this would be her fourth school. I wish her nothing but the best. But, you know, in her senior, super senior year, that's a gutsy move that could pay off. You know, I'm assuming she wants to get to the WNBA. But it also could, you know, she's got another fifth year if something goes wrong there.
Yeah. Hey. Everybody.
So I wish.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's too bad. Because you and I benefited from 4 years at the same college.
Yeah. That's the way it goes. All right. One more story here. The Tennessee A&I Tigers, Tennessee Agriculture Industrial, now known as Tennessee State University, and they made history in 1957. No one talks about it. They were the first HBCU team to win a national championship. And they were so impressive that they followed that up as the first college team to win three national championships in a row. And they never got the recognition until now. They were recently invited to the White House, and the vice president met with them. But we want to say congratulations to those men. I'll say, still say young men. And Joelle, what are your thoughts? 60 years later, the national champions are finally getting their recognition. Joelle?
Yes, my thoughts are congratulations to them for finally receiving those honors, because they definitely accomplished the goal to be leaders in that. I would like to say this, them being recognized that at the White House. Right now, TSU is under a lot of strain and pressure with the legislator here in the state of Tennessee trying to take over their board. So I wish, with all the fame that TSU received through the music, and the Grammys, and the coach with Eddie George and all of this, that we get behind our HBCUs and we pour in, this is all HBCUs, that we pour our resources and everything we have into each one of them to help them build. Thank you. Right.
Mm-hmm. And Dick Barnett was on that team, one of the members, and that team was coached by, of course, legendary John McClendon. All righty. So now, it's time to talk about the WNBA draft. Okay, let's start with, of course, Caitlin Clark. Jeff, what kind of damage is she going to do in Indiana? Jeff, she went number one.
I think the one thing about her I always say is her confidence. I've never seen confidence like this at an all-time high. I think that's what's going to take her through. She has the skills. You know she has the shot. But her confidence is going to, I think she'll do big this season. She's going to face a lot off the top. But, you know, everybody's going to try to get at her. Mm-hmm. Every coach is trying to scheme up some defense right now. Each player say, listen, if I'm going to make my name, I'm going to make it on this young lady coming in. But she is going to be the face of the league, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. And so the face of the league is the moneymaker. She may get a couple of calls here and there, but most of the players are going to try to go at her. So I'm really looking forward to big things from her. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Caitlin Clark. Now, in last night's draft, the Los Angeles Sparks, in the number 2 and number 4 position, they drafted Cameron Brink, and then they drafted Rekia Jackson from Tennessee. Jim, how much do you think they're going to improve? Let's talk briefly about those two players.
Well, let's go with Cameron Brink first, number 2 pick. She is a 3-point shooter, and she's won twice Defensive Player of the Year in college basketball. Yeah. And then you have Rekia Jackson, who is a multi-threat player. I think the Sparks got well real quick mm-hmm. with these two.
Yeah.
So right. I'm going to be looking out for the Sparks for this year.
Sounds good. Now, also in the draft last night, Chicago Sky, the 3 pick, Camille Cardoso, the center from South Carolina. And with the number 7 pick, they also picked up Angel Reese. Dr. Kim, tell me what you think about those two back in Chicago, helping in the front court, and now they're teammates.
It's very exciting, Dr. Burr. I'm just going to have to see if I can get some of my family members to take them over some heavy coats down over to the stadium, because you know those young ladies, they coming from the South, they're not going to be used to that Chicago winter, but we are excited to have them there, and it should be exciting, especially with Teresa Witherspoon being their coach. Oh, I'm excited. I can't wait. They're going to be dynamite. They're going to bring a lot to the team.
Absolutely. Joelle, I'm going to ask about our last player here that we'll talk about this week. I think she's one of the steals of the draft. I always have. And that is Aaliyah Edwards. She averaged about 17, 18 points for UConn. She was the complimentary player to Paige Becker this year. But Aaliyah Edwards is going to be a nice addition to the Washington Mystics. Give me your thoughts on Aaliyah Edwards, the UConn Husky. Joelle? All right. Jeff?
Yeah, I couldn't hear you, Cliff. Say it again.
Yeah. Give us your thoughts on Aaliyah Edwards, the UConn Husky. I think she's one of the steals in the draft. She's going to the Washington Mystics. She's averaged about 17 points this year, and she was a complimentary player to Paige Beckett. But she's quite a player. What do you think?
She can play, no doubt about it. I'm glad she's coming to this area. We sure enough need some things because the Wizards stunk things up this year. But I'm looking forward to big things from her. I think she'll do good this year. I think she'll do good.
Yeah, yeah. Aaliyah Edwards. Thanks so much, Jeff. Aaliyah Edwards. And so those are just some of our key people in the draft. We're going to take about a minute. We're going to take a little commercial, and then we'll be right back. Welcome back. Dr. Cliff Burton, friends, featuring the absolute very best in all of women's sports, HBCU athletics. We'd like to welcome our 41 engaged listeners and also 12 in the chat box. Joelle, we want you to give us the rundown because the CIAA softball, because the tournament is coming up quickly. Joelle.
Yes, with the CIAA 2024 softball, we have starting in the Northern Divisions, we have Virginia State 13-1, Bluefield State 7-3, Lincoln 7-3, Boys State 6-3, Virginia Union 6-0, Elizabeth City 4-5, and then in the Southern Divisions, we have coming up, we have Winston-Salem with a 10-4, Kaplan with a 7-3, Fayetteville State 5-7, Shaw 1-7, Livingstone with a 0-12, as well as the Johnson C. Smith with a 0-12. Right. Those are our CIAA 2024 softball standings.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Kemp. Let's give us the SIAC softball update.
All right, Dr. Burke, for the SIAC in the Eastern Division, Fort Valley State, conference record of 17 wins, 3 losses. Edward Waters, 15-4 record. Albany State is 15-5 conference record. Savannah State is 8 wins, 13 losses. Benedict College, 7 wins, 14 losses in the conference. Clark Atlanta, 4 wins, 17 losses. And Allen College, 3 wins and 21 losses. In the West Division, we have Spring Hill, 19-0. Lane College, 14 wins, 5 losses in the conference. Games, Tuskegee is 14-5. Kentucky State is 8 wins, 11 losses. Losses, Miles College is 5 wins and 14 losses, and Lemoyne Owens is 1 win, 18 losses in the conference so far.
All right, and the SIAC softball tournament is coming up this month, and so everything is wrapping up. Now, in Division One, the overall record, Texas number 1, 35-6, Oklahoma number 2, 38-4, Duke number 3, 37-4, Tennessee number 4, 32-7. Stanford, number 5, 34-7. Oklahoma State, number 6, at 35-8. LSU, number 7, at 33-8. Washington, number 8, at 28-7. Georgia, number 9, 33-10. And Florida, they're ranked number 10, at 36-9. So there you have it. This big tournament is coming up as well next month. We know the most watched sport in the spring on TV is women's what? Women's softball. Okay? Jim. Let's give us some SIAC baseball updates, Jim.
All righty. If you look, go to the SIAC, you have Albany State running away with the league at 25-2. Mm-hmm. Spring Hill is second at 20-7. Edward Waters closely behind at 18-8. Savannah State, 18-9. Miles has the same record of 18-9. Lane College is 17-10. Kentucky State, 11-15. Benedict is 10-17. Morehouse, 9-17. Tuskegee, 7-18. Clark Atlanta, 4-21. And unfortunately, as in softball, Lemoyne Owen is 1-25.
Wow.
Bringing up the rear.
They're having a tough year. All righty. We talked about GCAC baseball last week, and we'll bring them back again next week. We want to get this spring sport in, and it's the tennis. These championships will be going on as well in a couple of weeks, and the winners will go on to the Nationals. We don't want to forget these athletes. Joelle, do you have the CIAA tennis standings?
Yes, I have the CIAA 2024 women's tennis standings. Starting in the Northern Division, we have Bluefield State with a 4-0. Virginia State with a 2-1, Bowie State with a 2-3, Elizabeth City State 3-7, Virginia Union with a 0-8, Southern Division Shaw with an 8-0, undefeated, Johnson C. Smith with a 4-2, Winston-Salem with a 3-3, and Laz Livingston with a 1-5.
All righty. Thanks so much, Joelle. Dr. Kemp, the SIAC Women's Breakdown.
Thanks, Dr. Bird. Sorry about that. I don't have the women's standing, but I do have the men. If you want the men.
Okay, let's go.
All right, so Spring Hills, they have a conference record of 12-0. Benedict College is 9-3. Tuskegee, the record is 9-3. Fort Valley State is 5-7. Morehouse College is 5, also with a record of 5-7. Lemoyne Owen is 2-10, and Lane College is 0-12.
All righty. So there you have it. We're going to bring it to you. All these championships are coming up within 2 to 3 weeks. Now, also, the SIAC and the CIAA and the GCAC in the next 3 weeks all have their track and field championships, and we're going to definitely bring those to you. We're going to take a break, and then we'll come right back, okay? Welcome back. Dr. Clifton Burton Friends, featuring the absolute very best in all the women's sports in HBCU athletics. Welcome to our 41 engaged listeners. We want to say welcome to Benita from Nashville. Now, Pamela Renee, qualifying broker, CEO, 2870 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, Suite 692. And if you're looking for residential, if you're looking for commercial, if you're looking for land, builder, developer, and investment services, that's P. RenaeEstates.com or Pamela at BRenaeEstates.com, 404-964-4294. Now, Jim, let's talk about some baseball in the NCAA Division I. Jim?
Okay, there's a trend here I'm looking at. The first four teams are all SEC teams, with Texas A&M leading at 32-4. Arkansas close behind, 30-5. Kentucky also is 30-5, and Tennessee is 30-6. Then we have, I don't know what to call them because they're not Pac-12. Well, they are Pac-12 right now. Oregon State at 29-5. Then we have a run of ACC teams with Clemson at 29-6, number six. It's number seven, Duke at 26-10. Florida State at 30-5. Followed by East Carolina at 27-8. And then there are three more ACC teams, Virginia, North Carolina, and Wake Forest rounding out. I'm sorry, I did the top 12, but yes. It's going to be an exciting season in Omaha when they get there for the College World Series.
All right. The Masters Tournament, Jim. We're not going to let it slip by. Tiger didn't do great. But tell us about the golf. The Masters Tournament slipped up on us right after March Madness. Jim?
One problem he has when it rains, and on Friday he had to play 23 holes. That causes a problem. He made the cut, which means he has the record of making a cut at the Masters, but his play tailed off when he on Saturday and Sunday when he finished 16 over par. Mm-hmm. Now, the real story of the Masters is Steve Scheffler, and it's not only that he won the Masters, but his wife was due any day, and he said that, you know, if I get that call, I'm at the league. No questions answered. Family first.
Wait a minute. So the wife was due. Jeff, give us your thoughts on that one, if you were in his place golfing to win the Masters. Because there's a lot of money involved in that, too. Jeff, give us your thoughts.
Hey, listen, man. I would have thought about it for a few minutes. Because the baby's coming either way. But no, in all seriousness, family first, man. He made the right move, man.
Mm-hmm. Jim, how much, for argument's sake, how much was that first place check for the Masters?
Well, the whole purse was $20 million. So I'm assuming he probably got about $8 million. Now, having said that, and Jeff can agree on this one, you know, there's not amount of money that you have, that your wife is going to scorn you for if you miss that first child.
No question. No question.
So he did the right thing there. And you know, as fate would have it, it didn't matter because the wife, you know, she's still pregnant and did not give birth.
All right, let's hold up, Jim. Hold on. Let's bring Joelle now. She's got 3-4 children. Joelle, would you want your husband to go ahead and play for first place? I'll make sure he didn't miss that delivery with $20 million or something like that on the line. Joelle? Oh, are you there, Joelle? I got a mic hood. Dr. Kemp, what's your thought?
I would have said continue the tournament. have video for you. You can watch it or you'll be there for the next child. We need the $20 million after this birth. We're going to need the money.
Dr. Kemp? I can see after that first pain hits, you better bring your gun in here. So, you know.
Joelle.
That's what I – thank you. Thank you, Dr. Burke. Yes, that's what I was saying. I agree with all these wonderful co-hosts because when things are great, you be like, go, yeah, baby, go make that money. But as soon as something turns ugly, be like, you remember, you left me during a time. So, congratulations. All
right. Go ahead, Jim. Keep on with the tournament. What else happened?
Well, Scottie Scheffler made some key putts down the end, and he beat out the Swede, Alberg, by one stroke. Mm-hmm. As it was a great battle down toward the end. Mm-hmm. Now, Tiger did finish. I think it was his worst Masters ever. And, you know, I think for Tiger to win again on the tournament, it's going to have to be perfect conditions, where he does not have to play play late in the day and follow it up by playing a lot of holes early in the day the next day. That really tears that back up. You know, maybe Dr. Burt, you need to go and give him some pain relief between Thursday night and Friday morning.
How many back surgeries has he had, Jim? How many back surgeries does Tiger have?
I would say 4 to 5.
Yeah.
He's a tough shape. Seals.
He's a tough shape. Yeah.
And you know that's not a training that a golfer would need. An accident has done some stuff to his legs that he'll never get back. Mm-hmm. So you know, I think he's got a chance to win one more major, but like I said, things have to be perfect.
Yeah.
And line up.
All right. Football. Transfer portal, what's going on? Coaching changes.
Well, we started with a bang because if you remember, the Final Four in the football college playoff, 3 of the 4 lost their coach. Michigan, Jim Harbaugh, the champion, went to the pros. Mm-hmm. the runner up. Well, let's go. The first team Michigan beat, Alabama. Mm-hmm. Nick Saban retired. He got tired of NIL and other stuff. Mm-hmm. They went to Steve Sarkisian, who was the coach of Texas first. He said no. And they finally got Kalen DeBoer, the coach of the national runner-up Washington Huskies, to go to Alabama. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we had the little, some, you know, our stuff in the SWAC.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they finally settled on Bubba McDowell at Texas Southern. As of now, Fred McNair is still out of a job. Mm-hmm. And FAMU's coach left for PWI as well.
Oh. Yep.
So. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh,
so,
and yeah.
Football. Okay. The winner of the Black National title.
Simmons. FAMU. Simmons.
Yeah. And you know, FAMU can't compete against Duke money, unfortunately.
Like just said, hey, money talk. We just have to look at this as that another opportunity opens up for someone else to come into coaching and maybe come in and be a black college football. So, you know, happy for them.
Yes. Now, the second portion of the transfer portal opened recently. And what happens there is a lot of kids will, you know, stick it out, say, I'm going to stick it out spring football. And they see after spring football, they're not going to be playing. Mm-hmm. So then they transferred to other schools.
Wow.
I know I saw Deion lost a 5-star recently at Colorado. And a lot of fringe players are making moves. Hmm. So, you know, stay tuned on that. I assume there'll be some more big time movement. And one young man, I don't remember his name, left Alabama for Iowa. And now I believe this year. This all happened in 2024. He is back with Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know, sometimes they get out real quick and see the grass isn't greener and come back.
Yeah. Dr. Clemson, the registry's office, it's real busy after each season sending transcripts. You got that right. You got that right. Listen, we're going to say thank you so much, Jim. We're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the top, we don't do this much, high school players in the country and where they're going to college basketball-wise and all this portal. We forget the seniors in high school. And then Steve's going to also bring us NCAA. And, hey, the NBA season is over and the playoffs are here. So let's take a minute and we'll come right back. We're coming back with the NBA and all the action. Back with Cliff Burton Friends, featuring the absolute very best in all the women's sports, HBCU athletics. We have 44 age. We also have another 12 in the chat room. And yes, are you living with diabetes or at risk and tired of being stuck in a cycle of attempts to achieve better health? If you said Abundant Life LLC may be able to help. One size doesn't fit all, but using effective strategies empowers you to reach your goals. Try something new. Break the cycle. The website, abundant-life-llc.com. You can be, Dr. Rashe Freeman can also be reached at 615-212-8490. Now, we have him with us now. He's on the line. Coach Steve Wright, this is his time of year. We've been waiting about 4 months for it. The NBA is ready to go. We're going to talk some high school, talk some college. But Steve, first of all, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing tonight?
Hey, we're glad. We have to ask question, Steve, before we get into discussing the Masters tournament. And the leader, the winner this past week, wife was also expecting. So should he finish and make the prize money? Or if she was due or delivered, leave the tournament, give up the money, and go to the delivery? Now, we asked everybody else here, what would you do, and what would your wife say you should do when you're about to win that $20 million? What do you think?
Hey, we can have another baby.
We had
somebody take some pictures or some videos or something.
We had some discussion with everybody here. And okay. Steve, let's take us through. We don't talk about high school much, but let's talk about some of these top prospects coming into college next year in basketball. We always talk about but there's some great players coming in. And let us take us on from there. Steve?
Okay, well, if you're talking about the top 10 mm-hmm. players coming out of high school, if you look at 24/7 Sports, On3 Basketball, and Rivals.com, they all have the top 150, and they're all pretty close. Sometimes you have a player that's really low that they have ranked high, but for the most part, 24/7 and On3 are really close. And the number one recruit is Cooper Flagg. He's 6'10". He's out of Mount Bird Academy, where they won the National High School Championship this year, and he'll be attending Duke. Number two, you have Arius Ace Bailey, 6'9", who will be attending Rutgers, along with the number three ranked player, Dylan Harper, who's a 6'5 guard, and that's Derek Harper's son. I don't know why both those guys are going to Rutgers.
We need to help up here,
Jersey. I don't understand that. They're not even going to make the tournament. Then you have the fourth-ranked player is a kid named VJ Edgecombe, and he was actually not even in the top 25 last year. Then he hit, then he was 22, then he jumped. Now he jumped all the way to number four, and he's really good. He's a 6'5 shooting guard, and he's really, really good, strong. He can play. The fifth, and he'll be going to Baylor. The fifth-ranked recruit is a kid named Trey Johnson out of Texas, 6'5 shooting guard who will be going to Texas. He's a scoring machine. And number six is a kid named Common Maloach, and he's 7'1", and he played in the NBA Africa League, you know, Beyond Borders, and he's just 16 years old. Not a lot of people know too much about him, but he's 7'1". He can play in and out. He could be very, very good, and he's going to Duke. Then the number seven recruit is a kid named Jaleel Bethe. He's going to Miami. They list him as a shooting guard, but he can play on or off the ball. He's about 6'5", 6'6". He's quick, got a lot of offense. Number eight is probably going to be the best one in the class. His name is Jaden Quaintance, and he's about 6'10". He had committed to Kentucky, and he decommitted, of course, when Calipari left. You know, that's a lot of other stuff to go through. But he is just 16. He may have just turned 17 years old. He skipped a grade, so he's really supposed to be back in high school next year. He may he decommitted from Kentucky, so he may follow Coach Calipari to Arkansas, and this kid could be just, like I say, he could end up being the best one in this class. And then number nine, you have Ian Jackson out of New York. They call him Captain Jack. He's a 6'5 shooting guard. He's learning how to play with the ball in his hands as a point guard. He's strong. He's tough. He's going to North Carolina. And number 10 is Flory Bidinga, if I'm chopping up your name, Flory. He's about 6'10", 6'11". He's a center. He'll be going to Kansas next year. At one time, they had him listed as number one, but he's dropped down. And then if you look at Cliff, we've had the coaching changes. When Musselman took the USC job after Eddie Andy Enfield left to go to SMU. And then John Calipari took the Arkansas job. I don't know how true it is. They said that Calipari went to Kentucky and asked them if they wanted to match the Arkansas offer, and they said no. So he went to Arkansas, and then Kentucky went after Baylor's coach. Give me his name, y'all. Scott Drew went after Drew. He turned it down. He actually had his wife and kids fly to Kentucky without him to check things out. So he decided to stay, and Billy Donovan didn't want it. I don't know if they went after Patino. I don't know if he would have taken it. So they ended up hiring Mark Pope from BYU, who played on the 96 national championship team at Kentucky under Patino.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are questioning the move. I think actually it's a good hire. I thought they were going to get Bruce Pearl, and lucky for the rest of the SEC, Kentucky didn't hire Bruce Pearl because he's probably the best coach in the SEC. I'm not a Bruce Pearl fan by any stretch of the imagination, but giving credit where credit is due, he's probably the best coach in the SEC. And I think they were going to go out after Nate Oates at Alabama, but he just signed a big contract with Alabama. But you've had several kids. Every kid that was at Kentucky who was either coming in or there has either decommitted or gone into the transfer portal, except two. And that's Reed Shepherd, who was there this year, and Travis Perry, who is an incoming freshman.
Wagner is in the portal?
Wagner went in today, or it was either last night or today Wagner went in.
Okay.
He may go with Cal to Arkansas, or he may open it back up. You know, he might want to get back east. Mm-hmm. You know, he might want to get out of, you know, this area of the country and get back east. But he's going to be a good pickup. He really had a pretty good year. A lot of people don't think he did because they expected more out of him, and they found out that he was not their top recruit. And because I always thought Dillingham was tough anyway. Dillingham declared for the pros, and Reed Shepherd had a better year. Justin Edwards didn't have a great year, and he is going pro also. So, you know, it's a lot that goes in. Calipari has already gotten a commitment from Zonimir Ivicic, the big kid, who can really play, and he should get more playing time there. I thought he might get Aaron Bradshaw to go with him, but he committed to Ohio State. I don't know why, but he committed to Ohio State. He can be really, really good, and his attitude is good because he didn't get the playing time that he wanted because he started off the year hurt. But he could end up being a good player. I don't know about Ohio State being the best pick for him, but he's his own. And Musselman, of course, is at USC, and everybody I think decommitted or left the USC program when Enfield left.
Wow.
So it's going to be interesting to see because this is my transfer portal season. So, you know, I'm in the portal every day. So it is really interesting.
Let me ask you this. With Roy Williams, Mike Krzyzewski, Jimmy Boeheim stepping aside in the last 2-3 years, do you think it's time or is it soon for Calipari and for Bill Self pretty soon?
You know, I don't think so. Now, Bill Self had some heart problems.
Okay.
And if he's got a clean bill of health, I don't see him stepping down. Calipari is 65, and I'm sure he's refreshed to go to Arkansas, because if he'd stayed at Kentucky, I think it would have been too much pressure for him because they could have a great year and then the tournament comes and then if they lose again, I don't think he could take it. I know the fans wouldn't be able to take it.
Dr. Kemp wants to jump in here. Dr. Okay. Kemp.
My opinion, Steve, yes. That was my answer. Yes. they need to
for resign. Who? For which coach?
For Calipari. I'm not that familiar with the other coach. I'm sorry. But I just think it's probably time, or it's getting close to time. Yeah, it's getting close. We're going to see what happens in this next this upcoming season.
And you know, the reason I don't think it's time for him, Marlo, is because I think this Arkansas job is going to rejuvenate him, and it'll be less pressure, even though he will need to win a tournament game next year in the NCAA tournament. Or like Nolan Richardson told him when he got hired, stay ahead of the posse. It's gonna be rough, Marlo. If it's too much stress on him at Arkansas, hey, sometimes you gotta know when it's time to lead a party, like you said.
Steve, we got another coach I didn't mention. Jim mentioned him, and I want to get your opinion on what Jim and Jeff. Is it time for Tom Izzo at Michigan State to lead the party? Jim, I'll let you jump in. Steve, you go first, and we'll let Jim. Tom Izzo.
I really think Izzo should have left the party maybe 10 years ago.
Jim, copy, man.
It's been time for him to go. I don't know how the fans keep putting up with him. I mean, he had a top five basketball team this year. Mm-hmm. And they shouldn't have even made the tournament. And I'm like, it's time for him to go. And let's give somebody else a shot. And, you know, you stop crippling these kids. You know, I mean, I wouldn't send a kid to Michigan State to save my life.
Jim, jump in. Michigan guy.
Yeah, I think it's time for his old girl. And interestingly enough, he lost one of his assistants, Mark Montgomery, to come to University of Detroit Mercy and try to resurrect that program that won one game last year. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Izzo, great coach in his time, but it's past his time.
Yeah.
Jeff, any thoughts on Mark Izzo, Coach Izzo, Tom Izzo at Michigan State? Do you think his time has passed?
What happened is, what else are you going to do? So if you're not getting any other offers, if you don't have anything else set in place for you, you know, once you step down, then you're going to be sitting at home telling your why, you know, no money's coming in. Your wife looking at you. So what you going to do? You just stay in the game as long as you can, make whatever pennies you can and get on out. Unfortunately, by staying in the game and losing, now it's going to mess with your career. And unfortunately, that's the worst thing about it. But they're going to stay in as long as they can before they shut it down.
Fair enough. All right, Steve, we got about 8 to 9 minutes. We got to get to NBA. Give us what your thoughts are. Here we go.
Hey, look here. Right now, as we speak, the Lakers are up on the New Orleans Pelicans at halftime 60-50 mm-hmm. in the play-in game. And the next play-in game tonight will be Sacramento Kings and Golden State. Okay. So what you're looking at, if the Lakers or Pelicans win tonight, they're in.
Okay.
And so whoever the Kings – wins between the Kings and Warriors, they will play the eighth place team, and it'll be decided if you know that they're going to get that eighth spot or not. They're going to play the loser. So, like, let's say if New Orleans loses, the Warriors will go, if they win and play, that's what I'm assuming is going to happen, the Pelicans for that eighth spot. Mm-hmm. So it's really getting interesting. In the East, the play-in games tomorrow will be the Sixers and versus the Heat. Terry Rozier will not be playing tomorrow. Mm-hmm. He will be out. So that's going to hurt them. And Chicago and Atlanta will play the next game, the 76ers have a full cast back now with Joel Embiid.
Okay.
Tyrese Maxey. They can make some noise.
Yeah.
There have been some things they were talking about today. They said the Lakers should lose on purpose so they can get eighth place and play Oklahoma City rather than the Denver Nuggets.
Mm.
But, you know, I just don't see, I just can't see them doing it. Yeah, but OKC finished first in the West, Denver second, Minnesota third, the Clippers fourth, Dallas fifth. Dallas is going to be dangerous. They are going to be dangerous. Luka's got some help, especially mm-hmm. with Kyrie. Phoenix sixth, New Orleans finished seventh, and Lakers eighth. Sacramento was ninth, and Golden State was 10th. In the East, you had Boston. They won that East by 15 games. New York was second. Milwaukee.
Hey, before you go yeah. on there, let's talk about New York, okay? They won 50 games without Julius Randle. And I don't know how much Joel knows about the Knicks up here, but I'm going to ask her to chime in on the East a little bit with us. But let's talk about the Knicks, Jalen Brunson. And Julius Randle's been out over 30 games. This has been an incredible year. What do you think?
I knew Jalen Brunson was a really good player when he was in Dallas, but I was wrong. He is a great player.
Mm-hmm.
He is a great player. He has carried them because not only has Julius Randle been out, but Mitchell Robinson's been out.
Yeah.
OG Anunoby's been out. Mm-hmm. Then they had to get the guy Bogdanović from Detroit and Burks acclimated to the messed up system that Tibbs has, mm-hmm. and so they had to get used to that. But the Knicks, Jalen Brunson, man, is just an incredible basketball player, yeah. and they've got the role players. Everybody plays their role. They don't have enough. I don't think. Well, I know they don't have enough to win it. I don't even know if they'll make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm thinking if Philadelphia is healthy, they'll be there. Milwaukee is done. Giannis, I think will play, but he is not going to play the first game. And remember when they fired the one bad coach and then had another bad coach. I'm like, you're hustling backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And they finished under 500 when they got Doc.
Yeah.
And they were in second place when they fired the other bad coach. I'm like, y'all could have hired a whole bunch of people before you hired Doc. And I'm like, but the Knicks, you know, if Julius Randle was healthy, man, look, they'd be a problem.
Listen to Jeff, Joel. Jump in first. You know anything about the Knicks over here?
Yeah.
Come on, Joel. What do you think?
Yeah, I sure do. And I would like to commend Steve on that great report, too. And for the Knicks, I look at their coaching. For them to be number two in that Eastern Division, I'm like, y'all have put something together like Humpty Dumpty. Everybody getting hurt, everybody going through, but yet y'all still rise to all these wins. And congrats to him for coming in. And I'm just ready during this playoffs to see what's going to happen. And this is an exciting time. So thank you.
Jeff, jumping on the net. Jeff.
Hey, no question. They've been balling. There's no question about it. And you're right, Steve. If Randall was there, they'd be damaged. But Jim got a great point because Steve does, his MO has always worked his players real hard. And I think if they tried to go deep in the playoffs, they'd run out of steam in that last round. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, that boy is playing ball over there, man.
You know, that trade, I thought I didn't like to see the kid from Duke go to Toronto. But it seemed like that trade that they made has worked out well. When they traded J.R. Barrett, I think his name.
Yeah, R.J. Barrett.
And quickly.
And quickly. Like, you know, I talked to Jim about it, and Jim and I thought that he should have kept quickly.
Yeah.
And because quickly can play. That's one I think it may come back to bite him in later rounds, you know, because quickly can play. But let me give you all a player that y'all really need to watch this playoffs. Everybody knows about Ant-Man in Minnesota and everybody else, the Joker and LeBron and everybody. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to tear this playoffs up. He is going to light them up. He's something else, man. He's something else. It's just going to be, there's so much parity, especially in the West, that, you know, this game is just, these kids are so advanced. And, you know, LeBron actually went down a few minutes ago, was hurt, but he did not have to leave the game. I think it was either his wrist or his elbow. Zion ran over him. Luckily, he didn't run over him. But, but this playoff, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, man, watch him in this playoffs. He is going to light it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Steve, I want to say what you said about 2 minutes on this. We talked about it earlier in the show. Well, before I do, I forgot to say congratulations to Angel Jackson. She was drafted last night in the third round of the WNBA draft as HBC grad. She's from Jackson State University. So congratulations to that young lady. Now, yep. Steve, I want you to say a few words about the Tennessee State University's basketball team with Dick Barnett from 60 years ago, who won 3 national championships, and they just got acknowledged at the White House. Mm-hmm. Tremendous accomplishment.
Yeah. Give me your thoughts. I saw that, and I was so happy and proud that they were acknowledged because, you know, they don't talk about that. They won 3 straight NAIA championships. And at that time, the NAIA, they were ballers. I mean, they were up there. And, of course, they had the great coach John McClendon, Johnny Mack, Dick Barnett, and that crew. They were great, and it's about time. It's so past due.
Yeah.
And I was watching it when Vice President Harris came in, and you know, she said, "Hey, Tigers," you know, it was good to see them and good to see most of them that, you know, they're still here.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, nothing guaranteed. You ain't got to, you know, you don't have to be old to die. But it's good that, you know, they were still here. And and Dick Barnett is, you know, Dick Barnett is a doctor. So, you know, that's really something because I think we both changed our majors because I think we both majored in spades our first 2 years. both changed our major, but he was something they called him Skull. I can tell you some stories about Skull, but we don't have enough time. They're all funny. They're all funny.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Great. As usual, we're just getting started, Steve. Yep. Playoff time. Okay. Jim, tell us about the Sheffield Show coming on this Saturday morning, you and Mark Jones. And then I'm going to talk about our guest next week. We'll get out of here. Jim?
Okay, won't be on this week. We'll be on next week.
Okay.
But the Sheffield Show, the Wake Up Call Detroit. It's on multiple platforms.
Absolutely. 2 great shows coming up the next few weeks. Next week, a special show, a special topic. It's by a special young man, a pastor, a doctor, Troy Levy. You can look it up on the internet. He has a book or a series of books on financial literacy from this biblical perspective. The blueprint. And it's something that every church member of a community, or anybody that deals with money should listen to. And so this is going to be one of those special educational shows. I'm going to put it on the same level as when we had Dr. Lonnie on back in December. This is going to be a special, special show. So let's spread the word. And then the following week, we're going to have a special young man. We've decided to go on and bring him on, and he's agreed. He just received the Perrin Wallace Award. Perrin Wallace was the first African-American basketball player from Pearl High School in Nashville, Tennessee, to play in the Southeastern Conference. And he received this award for his courage. He's a member of Fisk University's basketball team. Praise for Coach Kenny Anderson. Jeremiah Armstead will be on our show in 2 weeks. This young man has a special journey, an inspiring story, from homeless to a college student, and he just returned back from a trip to the Final Four. Okay? We're so happy for this young man. He will be on our show. Okay? So let's continue to spread the word. We've had a great show tonight. We're going to have a great 2 weeks coming up. And everybody, thank you so much. We'll see everybody back in 168 hours from now. Thanks so much. Good night, everybody.
Good evening, everyone.